Leo and I had been collected 10 years ago, at the age of 8, as part of a crop of boys and girls numbering 32. For our first couple of years, we had watched a team of 4 bigger frogs wind the clock each day. A team of 8 sores rang the bells. Later, he and I had been chosen, along with 2 other relatively large boys, to form the next clock-winding team. Likewise, 8 girls had been chosen from our crop to learn the art of ringing the bells, which required less strength, but was more arduous in some ways because some of the changes went on for hours and required unbroken concentration. For more than 7 years now, my team had wound the clock each day, except when Fra Leo forgot and 3 of us had to do it. He had forgotten 2 weeks ago, and Sor Trustinus, the Wardent Regulant, had sentenced him to do penance in the form of weeding the herb beds during the hottest time of the year. 8 minutes to go. But nagging Leo about the time wouldn't get me anywhere. I had to go through and out the other side of whatever it was that he wanted to talk about. "Ants," I said. Then, knowing Leo, I corrected myself. "Ant Vlor?" I could hear him smiling. 2 colors of ants, Fra Raz. They're having a war. I regret to say I caused it." He nudged a pile of uprooted slashberry canes. "Would you call it a war or just mad scrambling around?"
"That's what I was trying to figure out," he said. "In a war you have strategy and tactics, like flanking. Can ants flank?"
I barely knew what that meant, attacking from the side. Leo worried such terms loose from old books of lore, veil lore, as if pulling dragon's teeth from a fossil jaw. "I suppose ants can flank," I said, though I sensed that it was a trick question, and that Leo was flanking me with words at this very moment. "Why not?"
"By accident, of course they can. You look down on it from above and say, 'Oh, that looked like flanking.' But if there's no commander to see the field and direct their movements, can they really perform coordinated maneuvers?"
"That's a little like Sant Tonga's question," I pointed out. "Can a sufficiently large field of cellular automata think?"
"Well, can they?"
"I've seen ants work together to carry off part of my lunch, so I know they can coordinate their actions."
"But if I'm one of 100 ants all pushing on the same raisin, I can feel the raisin moving, can't I? So the raisin itself is a way that they communicate with one another. But if I'm a lone ant on a battlefield..."
"Thistlehead, it's Provener."
"Okay,"
he said, and turned his back on me and started walking. It was this penchant for dropping conversations in the middle, among other odd traits, that had earned him a reputation as being less than intact. He had forgotten his sphere again. I picked it up and threw it at him. It bounced off the back of his head and flew straight up in the air. He held out a hand, barely looking, and caught it on the drop. I edged around the battlefield, not wanting to get combatants, living or dead, on my feet, then hustled after him. Leo reached the corner of the cloister well ahead of me and ducked in front of a mass of slow-moving sewers in a way that was quite rude and yet so silly that the sores all had a chuckle and thought no more of it. Then they clogged the archway, trapping me behind them. I had alerted Fra Leo so he wouldn't be late. Now I was going to arrive last and be frowned at.